Well, meeting to order. We're awaiting a couple members yet before we move the minutes, but we do have Representative Hawes here. There he is, Representative Hawes. I will pick up House File 271. And Representative Hawes, this bill, we're going to have a charitable gambling omnibus bill. So at the end, when we do get a quorum, what we'll do is we'll move to lay the bill over for potential inclusion in that omnibus bill. And I will make certain we visit again before the omnibus bill is created. But I know that you've got some folks that have come in to visit with us this afternoon. We look forward to hearing from them. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, Representative Hawes, for House File 271.
Thank you very much. I do have some amendments, and those amendments have passed out around the table. Would you like me to put my bill in order to hear?
Representative Hawes, I will shortly, just as soon as we get a quorum. What we'll do is we'll move the bill and then we'll move the amendments. But if you can proceed, and let's operate under the understanding that the amendments will be incorporated. So why don't you start by explaining what the amendment is going to do. Once we do get it moved, and then we'll take some testimony, and as soon as we get a quorum, we'll shape it up in the order that you want it.
Thank you very much. The law as it stands now deals with fraternal organizations and veterans and legion clubs, and they differ and have some different advantages. When the AMUSA organization first came to me, they thought that they would like to be equal to the other organizations, and there were three different sections that would make them equal. One was a very mystifying paying the taxes on a leased facility. The second was to use dollars towards maintenance and heat and electricity and some type of repair. And the third was to be able to use some dollars up to $5,000 for travel, school, and conference. I kicked that one out right away. I did not understand the leased facility because there is very few of them, and I didn't know what was going on. After much investigation, I did find that it was originally put in the law for one specific VFW that was related to an HRA. And so then as soon as I found that out, that it was a specific case, I took that out also. So we have in our amendments those exclusions. One of the first, we have page one after line four insert, and that would be inserting a definition of a fraternal organization. This definition was given to me and worked on by the Gambling Control Board, as well as the other amendments. And so it defines what a fraternal organization is and tightens that up. If you're looking through that, you can read that, but you specifically would read, the term does not include college, high school fraternities, and sororities. In addition, we deleted the new language, which would have been, that is page 2, line 23 and 24, delete the new language. That would have been being able to pay the taxes for a leased facility. Then page 3, line 15, delete the term lodge, which kind of got in there extraneously. And then when all that is in, we would like it renumbered. Do you have some questions on the amendments?
I don't think we do at this point. Why don't we proceed with the testimony, and then we'll come back to the bill itself.
Thank you very much. Today, I have three people from Waite Park and St. Cloud. The original request came from the Waite Park Moose, which is known as a community center in that small town of Waite Park. And they also have an endorsement of their state association. This bill would take care of not only the Moose, but the Lions, the Eagles, and whatever fraternal organization we have. Will Justin, Dennis Dumpy, and Gerald Janu. And if you would introduce yourself to the chair and the committee and speak your mind.
Gentlemen, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Gerald Janu. I'm deputy area manager for the state of Minnesota.
I'm Will Justin. I'm the state sports chairman for the Minnesota State Moose Association.
Dennis Dumpy, government relations chairman.
Hey, first of all, I want to thank everybody for bringing this bill forward, and especially Larry Haas for bringing it up to you. Every fraternal organization, like the Eagles, the Elks, and the Loyal Orders and the Moose Family Center, have respect and admiration for our communities, and we do serve and support them in every way we can. We in St. Cloud have our community, had in our community over 80 years, the Loyal Order of the Moose, and we serve the community in every aspect that we could possible. Hopefully we can help serve it better by introducing this bill. The Loyal Order of the Moose has 27 lodges that are state family centers in the state of Minnesota. We had three lodges in the state the last 5 years that had to close because of financial burdens. One was the Middle Falls Lodge. After being closed over 8 months, they had gambling proceeds yet in their fund and needed to get rid of them. And we couldn't do anything about it. We had to give them to the community. So we ended up closing the doors of the Middle Falls Lodge, but that's only one. We also tried to have lodges in the Alexandria area and the Leech Lake area and tried to get funding for that, and we couldn't. And we looked for buildings. We had buildings available, but the proceeds just weren't there to help finance the buildings itself. So with this bill, I hope we can accomplish something with it and help some of the lodges and like the Eagles, the Elks, and the Moose organization out. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there going to be additional testimony, Representative Haas? Yes. All right.
They're the strong, quiet type.
My kind of fella.
Can I say a couple words?
Dennis, all right. I'm going to take the mic.
Do me a favor and come up to the mic there, and just if you'd identify yourself once more for the record so we can know who you are and find you if we need to.
I'm Dennis Humphrey from St. Cloud, Minnesota, and I'm the government relations chairman for the State and Municipal Association. I just want to say a few personal words why I think this bill is important. And the reason is to keep our doors open because of our community service. My lodge in St. Cloud Lake Park has almost doubled the last year and a half in community service. For example, fundraisers for cancer and other diseases, hockey fundraisers, baseball fundraisers, Narcotics Anonymous, and we also help the community because we have the Queen Pageant for Spouse Dog, which is the local Wake Park celebration. And we do some graduations and many other things that are large. And I want to tell you that our expenses have gone almost sky high. For example, 5 years ago, our electricity was about $1,600 a month. Now it's up to like $2,400 a month. But the main thing I wanted to say was my heart is with the Moose. And the reason my heart is with the Moose is when people come to our lodge to use our facilities. And you can understand that. We're needing our community for a $3 million facility in a time when we need to make some fundraising for somebody who has cancer. And this touches my heart because my mother presently is dying from cancer. So please pass this bill and keep our doors open. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy.
Would you like me to summarize?
And actually, at this point, Representative Haas, why don't we, we've got House File 271. Chair moves that bill for potential inclusion in the omnibus charitable gambling law. And I would further move the AO70050 amendment to be incorporated within that. Is there a discussion of that motion to amend? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion prevails. It's now in the shape in which you decided wanted to present it, Representative Haas.
Thank you very much. I think you have to remember that this is a grassroots initiative that was started with the Moose, but it includes all fraternal organizations. It is a small modifier. I mean, it isn't asking for the world. I think you have to recognize that the further out you get in the rural areas, the more important these places are as community centers. Many of the small towns do not have the schools readily available, and they act with their kitchens and with their halls and for fundraisers and for meals and lots of fun activities that are going on there. there's a couple ways that these fraternal organizations make contributions. One is dollars, but the hardest probably one is facilities. And when those facilities close and they can't pay for one, and you've heard citing of one example and two more potentially coming, you lose the gambling dollars and you lose the facilities. This is not a silver bullet, but it is very motivating for them to have a few dollars to pay for the heating bills. When you have a facility go down and you still have money in the bank that you couldn't use to help you out, that's not good business. It's not good business for gambling, and it's not good business for fraternal organizations, and it's not good business for the small communities that are dependent on it. I would also like you to realize that we have now have defined a compromise, which means I have Allied Charities of Minnesota and the Gambling Control Board liking it, disliking it equally.
There you go.
So they're not... You know, I think we've compromised, we've worked with them, and they think it's fine.
Okay, thank you, Representative Haas. Are there questions for Representative Haas? Representative Anza.
Just a comment primarily for the members' information, not that you need it, but I compliment you on the bill. I've often thought that we should be treating licensed organizations who own their own buildings in the same fashion. And this bill will do that. It will level the playing field among all licensed organizations that own their own buildings. So, I compliment you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Representative Anzo. Are there any other comments or questions for the author or for the proponents? Seeing none, is there anyone else that desires to be heard with respect to this bill? If not, gentlemen, I think I speak for the whole committee, by the way, when we commend you for your efforts and what you're doing within your community and for the state of Minnesota, as well as all those. I know you're speaking on behalf of lots of other folks that are doing good things for your communities, and we appreciate it very much. Chair, with that, we'll lay over this bill for potential inclusion in the omnibus charitable gambling bill. Representative Haas, I know you know what that means. For the folks that came with you, what we do is we'll take up all of the charitable gambling bills together at one time a little bit later, probably in about mid-March. I'll certainly notify Representative Haas about the status of that so that he can be in touch with you as well. And if you have questions or concerns at that point, otherwise we'll likely pass out a bill that is an omnibus bill with regard to all those issues that will travel on to the floor and be acted on together. Okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, thank you very much. Thanks again for coming down. Since we've got a quorum, Representative Paulson is kind enough to move the minutes. We had one correction just to the date for the minutes of the February 6th meeting, and then we also have the February 8th minutes before us. Any comments, questions, corrections with regard to those minutes? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. Next up is Representative Rukavina. You're hard to see over there, Representative Rukavina. It's because
alone.
Representative Simpson is so tall. House File 122, Representative Rukavina, it appears that this bill is not going anywhere else, straight to the floor. So I will move...
Consent calendar.
I don't think so, Representative Rukavina. That's my best impression of Representative Abrams chairing the tax committee. But I will move House File 122, be recommended to pass, and referred to the general calendar. Representative Rukavina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's just a pleasure to be in front of this committee. You know, for the first 20 years of my legislative career, I sat on this committee, so I miss it. I certainly wanted to follow your, you know, illustrious career and see how you do as a chair here. And I was really saddened when I didn't get appointed to it.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome back anytime. We meet Mondays and Wednesdays from 10 to 12.
Well, Chair, if you let me have the gavel, I might just take you up on that.
You just show up 10 to 12 on Monday and Wednesday. Representative Mahoney. I don't think he desires that. But Representative Rukavina, House File 122.
Well, members, the bill is pretty straightforward, as you can see. It just says that in Minnesota, our flags and novelties with the flag on it are going to be made in the United States of America. And the history behind this bill is, you know, after 9/11, I remember coming to the Capitol for a service that Governor Ventura called. And you know, everybody had their flags and that, and, you know, I started looking and noticing that most of the flags I saw waving in the novelties weren't made in China or Pakistan or probably where your sport coat is made. I'm sure I see you're looking.
I know you're going to
be looking at that, but you know, I thought if anything should be made in the United States, it should be the American flag and novelties of the flag. So I started checking, and prior to 2001, members, you know, there were about anywhere from 800 to $1 million worth of flags imported into the United States of America, most of which, even at that time, were coming from China. But we also exported a lot of flags, the United States did. The trade imbalance wasn't that big at all. But in 2001, as could be expected because of the tragedy and the terrorist attacks and that, we imported about $47 million worth of flags, of which about $38 million of that came from China. Since then, that's tapered off quite a bit. But, you know, in 2002, the U.S. manufacturers of flags got together, in 2003 it was, members, and set about trying to educate the public here in the United States of America that, you know, that their flags, that there was a thriving flag industry, that their flags were made with all the fibers, et cetera, made in the United States. And they've been doing a fairly good job. But still the imports are flowing in. And, you know, I introduced that bill in 2002. Since then, two other, and Mr. Chair, I will say that, again, I was ahead of my time because, you know, I see that there's been a couple of states that have followed suit, Pennsylvania and Tennessee, in 2005. There was a bill introduced in the United States Congress in 2003 that's exactly, almost similar to this bill. And so I think maybe it's ironic that all of us got this in our mail. And Representative Lilly, is he on this committee? Oh, there he is, over there. But if you got this and you noticed it came, I think, yesterday in the mail or today. And it's get your own, acquire a work of art and collector's item with the U.S. flag. It says, guaranteed had made in Pakistan. Well, the last time I heard, that's probably where Osama bin Laden's hiding, and for the life of me, I just can't see why, you know, would anybody want to buy a flag that isn't made in the United States of America. So, members, that's the bill, and I'd appreciate your support, and you know, a lot of you, I tease about where your suits and ties and everything are made, because I was brought up in a household to buy things made in the USA. And in fact, just recently at my aunt's funeral, my Uncle Joey informed me that my dad used to run around after he got back from World War II and he'd pull cigarettes out of people's mouths to see if they were Union made. So I must have been something I inherited. It's probably in my genes, members. But anyway, that's my. But yeah, they could see I could smoke back then, and so. That's a whole other issue, Representative Abney, but at least for this issue here, I want to go back to my farmer labor roots, and I'd appreciate your support, member.
Thank you, Representative Rukavina. Do you have any fellow Americans here to testify on behalf of your bill?
No, I think that, you know, as I've discussed this with a lot of people all around the state, I haven't run into one person that disagrees with me. And I think I even got a hearing one year from Representative David, but my bill didn't get to the off the floor, so I tried offering amendments, but it never went anywhere.
Thank you, Representative Rukavina. Are there questions for Representative Rukavina? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I request a roll call on suit coat manufacturing. I will vote for mine is Union made in the USA. Right here. If anybody, just kidding, but
I think my dry cleaner's part of the tag on.
Actually, mine's made in.
Everybody should check.
Now that everyone's checked, Representative Vanzo.
Thank you. Unfortunately, the the pin that you were given today on the House floor and the pen that you were given, or we were given at new member orientation when we were on the House floor, were both made in China. So I compliment the author for starting us on the right road here.
Thank you, Representative Ansel. Representative Paulson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukabee, I'm just curious. You know, on Sunday night, I was with the I had a dinner with the U.S. and I think it was the U.S. China People's Federation. It was a celebration of the 25th anniversary, I believe, with the sister statehood that Minnesota has with Shaanxi province in China. And at that dinner, they were selling little pins with the Chinese and an American flag on them to symbolize the friendship and that had gone on. So would this bill apply to that because it has an American flag?
Representative Rookerman.
Mr. Chair, I believe it would. Yes, it would.
Okay.
They could give it away to you, but they couldn't sell it.
Representative Paulson.
Representative Rookerman, again, it's interesting to me. I understand the perspective you're sharing here, but as someone who comes from the Iron Range, knowing that Liwu Steel has a significant investment in mining up in the range, it just seems to me we'd want to do all we can to keep those relationships going. I mean, do you feel at all this could have a negative impact or send the wrong signal? I mean, what if my aunt decided to sell, you know, a flag at a garage sale? I mean, would she be penalized if my auntie decided to make a sale of a flag at a garage? I mean, would she be covered? I mean, I think Tennessee and Pennsylvania, the states you mentioned, I think apply to state purchases, but not to anyone selling flags or similar items. Is that correct?
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, I'd only want to see your aunt go to jail if she voted for you, but if she voted Democrat, Mr. Chair, it's not my intent. And, you know, I don't see any governing of garage sales right now. Do people pay sales tax on garage sales? I don't see that happening. I don't think there's going to be. Now, of course, who knows with the way things are going? Maybe there'll be, somebody policing that. But no, this is just for the actual store type sales or internet sales or whatever. If I have to refine this as it moves forward, you know, I'm more than willing to do that. But this is a very important issue to me, Representative Ansel. You know, I try to buy everything made in the United States, and then when I can't find something made in the United States, I go to a country like Canada where I know that their labor practices are similar to ours. And, when I can't do that, I move towards places in Europe that I think are with, like the European Union has child labor laws that set was similar to ours. And when I can't find it there, I try to go to this hemisphere. And it's hard. You know, I'm running out of underwear. I got to tell you this. But, you know... but good thing I go to those union conventions, because they always have a guy there representing Ansel, Sully, and even made in, you know, USA underwear. So I lucked out on that one, but it is difficult. But it is our choice, I guess, you know, on that issue, on your clothing. And consumers, we have a choice. And my choice has been, Representative Paulson, that I try to buy as much as I can made in the USA. You know, that's just the way I was raised. But I also know that if this country doesn't manufacture anything but Popiel's pocket fishermen or something like that, that we're going to be in big trouble. And we can't have a service industry economy. So if we've got a flag industry, and I've got, you know, these are still companies in the United States and America that make flags. There's more than enough of them to buy from. And I want to at least preserve that. So that's what my bill does, and the novelties I've thrown in there is a negotiating tool. I'm willing to compromise a little bit. But I even think that's terrible, because when on the House floor, Representative Paulson, when you were majority leader, you gave these out to us, and it says made in China on the back of them. So, you know, I mean, couldn't you just, I know you're a little parsimonious, but couldn't you just have spent a little more money and found them made in the USA?
Representative Paulson, is that is your rest, your heart rest assured now that your auntie is in good shape? Or?
Well, Representative Chairman Atkins and Representative Rukavina, I appreciate your intent. Let me ask you one other question, though. I think, as the language states in the bill, it talks about any item containing a representation of the American flag. So if at the 4th of July time I go to the Target in Virginia and I buy napkins and paper plates to have my 4th of July celebration,
they're going to all be made in the USA.
And they're all be made. They have to be all be made in the USA.
They're going
to
be made in the USA. We've got how many paper manufacturers in this state? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could find a niche market with that for them to capitalize on?
Representative Paulson, anything further to that point?
No, I'm just trying to point out, Mr. Chair, I think that this has some pretty broad reach. That's all. So.
Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Rukavina. I share, and I already checked. I'm American on the tie, and I think Canada on the coat. So I'm close. I have relatives in Canada, so I got to, you know, balance the border. And I didn't know you were such a power shopper. You must spend quite a bit of time at the mall if you're going from continent to continent.
Mr. Chair, Auntie Gloria won't go shopping with me anymore.
but actually, I agree with you, Representative Rukavina. As I drive into the garage every day, I look around, and you know, my GMC is one of very few in the parking lot, and I think when it comes to buying American, I agree with you. Where I grew up, we were told, you know, buy from your neighbor first, then buy from town, then buy from your state, and then buy, you know, work in those concentric circles. And I think it'd be a good policy as you drive around the garage to maybe see a few more American cars in there. My only concern, and I agree with you 100% here, is that what will this do for availability? You said the flag part of it is there's going to be plenty of those manufacturers. I just want to make sure that when Representative Paulson's having his 4th of July celebration, that there's a flag and a plate and a tablecloth, and so we don't limit people's ability to be proud of their American flag and the novelty items that go with it.
Representative Rukavina.
Is that a question, Mr. Chair? I don't know the availability of the novelties, but I'm assuming that there are still pins and pens and everything else made in this country, Representative Ellis. And in Minnesota, if it would have a flag emblem on it, it would be like this. It would be made in the USA. And if it's one thing, like I said, and I'll emphasize it or reemphasize it, is that one thing that should be made in the United States of America, I think, is the flag.
Thank you. For sure. I agree 100%. Representative Rukavina, I just want to make sure that they're all available so we can buy as many as possible.
Representative Mahoney.
At some level, I'm going to disagree with my friend, my colleague, Representative Zeller. I would rather not see the napkins and the plates and the cups with the American flag, because the American flag should always be flown at the top of a flagpole. And I don't care if it's your auntie or your uncle or any place else. You don't see any flag decals on my anything that I own. Representative, my question is, do they allow anything not made in America north of Highway 2?
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, that brings up, I just thank you for reminding me, because Senator Tomasoni said we were going to introduce a bill this year that made it illegal to put up Republican lawn signs north of Highway 2.
But, all right, I think we've gone far enough.
Representative Mahoney, does that conclude your remarks? We're not, Representative Rukavina, we're not even sure you were made north of Highway 2.
I can tell you exactly what my mom and dad told me, but you don't want to hear that.
More than enough information. Unless you bring Auntie Gloria down. That's why we're not on TV down here. Dick put us in the basement for a reason, Representative Rukavina. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, who would be in charge of regulating this and making sure that people are complying?
I would imagine, Mr. Chair, that the charge would fall on the Department of Commerce representatives, because they're the ones that do this type of policing, I guess if that's the right word, so, or enforcement, so I think it would be them.
And Representative Rukavina, have you had conversations with the department, determined if there's a, you know, what the financial cost would be? Do you have a fiscal note at all? Or
Mr. Chair, I don't, and I am, no one thought that it would be, any type of new charge for that agency to enforce it, so I didn't get a fiscal note.
So you haven't talked to them at all to see?
I've talked to them in the past, but I haven't talked to them this year because I'm in the majority now since this happened. So, you know, you can kill a bill depending on what agency likes. You know, whether it likes or dislikes. Quite frankly, Representative Anderson, and I think you know this, I have seen fiscal bills that were $5 million in a committee when the agency found out they wanted it go to zero, and when something was zero, go to $5 million.
Sure.
So we don't have a, an independent agency here at the legislature that does fiscal notes. I don't think that this is going to be, very expensive to enforce at all. And, if you want, as this moves to the floor, I will ask for a fiscal note, but I don't think that the enforcement of this would be, very nominal.
That'd be great, if you could.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Mullery, and then we have Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is really hard, but I happen to agree with Representative Mahoney. Actually, in the United States Code, you're not supposed to put the flag representation on things like that or on clothing or anything. And there's actually a U.S. District Court decision in New York that says that that is to be upheld, but that you can't be prosecuted criminally outside of the Washington, D.C. area for violating the United States Code on that.
Thank you, Representative Mullery. Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Covina, I don't think there's any question about what you're trying to do is a good thing on the flag part. I do have a little bit of an issue with the novelty or items containing, much to what Representative Mullery just said. There are a tremendous amount of paper products that are sold in the summer period that represent red, white, and blue, whether they're actual flags or not, but the facsimile is there. I think this could be easily passed if maybe there was just a line or a word or two taken out of it. I don't know. The flag part, I don't think there's anybody here disagrees with, but maybe you're taking it just a wee bit too far.
Okay. Thank you for the comment, Representative Rukavina. You want to respond, or would you like us to be able to get on to the next bill eventually?
No, I think we'll get on the next bill, but just Representative Simpson, I'm certainly, like I said, willing to negotiate that part of it, but this here is a flag, and there's no mistake about it. So I guess maybe, we could work on some language. I'm more than willing to do the other part. Like Representative Mahoney said, I kind of tend to agree with him also, and Representative Mullery. I don't like to see the flag on cups or everything else, but I guess that's a whole other issue. But I am glad to see Representative that you're coming around to my line of thinking, because I have, the amendment, when I offered this as amendment, I do have the votes from 2003 and 2004, and I think you're coming over to my side now. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. There is one more question, I believe, from Representative Zellers.
Sure. Representative Zellers. Mr. Chairman, just as Representative Rukavina had said, I should say Chairman Rukavina had said, moving forward, he's willing to work on the bill, and I've got a mug here. It says Duluth is cool, and I was just wondering, says on the bottom it's made in Red China, if you'd be willing to expand that to tourism or advertisement in Minnesota, and especially for the city of Duluth, would you include them in your bill, Representative Rukavina?
Sure.
Representative Rukavina.
Obviously, Representative Zellers doesn't know the difference between Iron Range and Duluth.
Yeah.
I would move the city of Duluth to Red China, but that's a whole
Seeing no further comments, is there anyone else that desires to be heard with respect to this bill? Seeing none, Chair renews motion that House File 122 be recommended passed and referred to the General Register. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Seeing sort of none, motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Rukavina. It's been
thank
a pleasure
you,
to see
Chair
you.
Chair members and representatives, and I will.
Next is House File 532. Representative Winkler, this is regarding military personnel utility and other contracts regulated and cancellation authorized. Chair Dabney, this came out of your division. The Representative or Chair Dabney moves the division report with respect to 532. And this one, don't you?
I do.
And it is my understanding, Mr. Chair, that this would be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Energy, Finance, and Policy. Is that correct?
That's correct, Chair Atkins. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Winkler, your maiden voyage before the Commerce and Labor Committee. Welcome to the committee. Please
thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'm not sure if the previous bill with Mr. or with Representative Rukavina was to set the stage that I'm expected to follow, or whether it's something to avoid. But I intend to be brief. With me today is Brian Berkson from the Attorney General staff, and I urge your support today for House File 532, which is styled the Minnesota Service Members Supplemental Act, which basically has three components as they apply to members of the armed services who are deployed overseas or have their stations changed. And essentially they are that the cold weather rule would apply to them so that their basic utilities would not be shut off because of inability to pay or make reasonable payments. They would have the ability to, or the right to, cancel cell phone contracts without penalty. And finally, they would have the right to cancel service and rental contracts without penalty. And such service and rental contracts could include health club memberships, membership travel, internet service, computer service type contracts. And I would like to point out at the outset that the there are a number of companies that already make this possible, including Quest, one of the local cell phone providers. And I've been in contact with representatives from the major cell phone companies, all of whom support this legislation. And what this, the need right for this particular bill is that we have a Federal Soldiers and Sailors Civil Relief Act, which covers things like rental payments or mortgage payments, credit card interest payments, and they give some relief. However, they don't reach the types of payments that this bill does, as I mentioned, utilities, cell phones, service, rental-type contracts. And this type of contract particularly affects younger members of the armed services, those who might not yet be married and have homes of their own or rental rates that they have to worry about, mortgage payments, that kind of thing. The information that we've had from the Minnesota National Guard is that in particular younger members of the Guard would benefit from this, and they do support it. In fact, Colonel Allness of the National Guard testified in favor of it at the Consumer Protection Subdivision. So I would urge your support, and I'm just going to have Brian Berkson share a bit of his experience. He was a captain, I believe, in the United States Army during the Desert Storm operation, and will share a little bit of his experience there. And the last thing I would just mention is that this would be part of a package that the National Guard in Minnesota offers to its members through their service centers across the state. So this really is just another part of the kinds of service and protections that we extend to military families and service members today.
Thank you, Representative Winkler. Captain Bergson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I haven't been called that in quite a while. My name is Brian Bergson. I'm the Director of Communications and Legislative Affairs for Attorney General Lori Swanson. I'm thankful to Representative Winkler for carrying this bill, because it takes care of an important need that our soldiers serving in the Minnesota National Guard and the Army Reserve and all the other branches of service need. When I was the second lieutenant, I volunteered and was activated for Desert Storm and was living in the Riverwalk apartments along the Mississippi River in Minneapolis. I took a copy of my orders in to the rental office and said, I'm leaving. I think I got the orders on Friday and I had to leave by Monday. And I said, I'm leaving and I need to cancel my lease. And they said, well, you can't do that. I called my unit, very distraught, because I didn't know what I was going to do. I had a storage facility all set up to put all my things in. And they said, call the U.S. attorney. I did that. Within about a half an hour, the maintenance man, who was a Vietnam veteran, who was served in the 1st Cav Division, of which I was going to be in the 1st Cav Division, came down and helped me pack up my stuff and move out of my apartment. The Soldiers and Sailors Relief Act, as it was called then, works. And all we're trying to do with this bill here is extend it to the new types of contracts that weren't in place then, you know, cell phone contracts and cable television, satellite TV, etc. And I think it's a very good common sense approach to problems that we couldn't have envisioned 10 years ago. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Bergson. Representative Winkler, is there anyone else that you have? I notice you've got a fellow representative from the Attorney General's office, but any other folks that you want to have testify in favor of the bill?
Not today, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that desires to testify with regard to the bill? Are there questions, comments, concerns from members of the committee? Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Representative Winkler and Mr. Bergstrom. Representative Winkler, I applaud you on the bill. I think there's definite merit, and it's a great idea. As family members over there, they struggle with the same thing. I just caution you as you move forward, and Mr. Bergstrom as well. It's one thing to write a letter in support of a bill. The inflammatory language in the letter, I think, does disservice to Representative Winkler's not only his bill, but the cause that you're supporting. Political overtures are fine in the public sector. Write an editorial, put an op-ed, I don't care. But the language in this letter that was, I guess, left here at our desks tonight, I think Representative Winkler in particular, this does a disservice to your bill. You've got a good idea. You're doing a good thing for the soldiers. This kind of inflammatory political language in this letter does nothing for your cause. As you move forward, I would, if nothing else, don't give this to the rest of the committee members if you choose not to. I'm going to still vote for your bill, support it, but this kind of stuff is, to me, is way off the mark and it's way over the top.
Thank you, Representative. Are there other comments or questions for the author or the witness? Anyone else that desires to be heard? If not, Chairman Davney renews his motion that the bill be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Energy, Finance, and Policy. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that prevails. Congratulations, Representative Winkler. Thank you for coming before the committee. That's all we got for today, folks. On Thursday, we may have, we've got the bill. I don't recall the House file number. I apologize. I do remember. It's 131. That deals with the use of Social Security numbers. I anticipate that that will be an interesting discussion, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Thursday. Thank you all for coming. With that, we stand adjourned.